Because the Bible says where two or more are gathered in his name, there his presence is. Lori is going to open us with a scripture, and then we will get started.
This is Psalms 95, 1 through 7. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to rock our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is great, God and King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hill is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship, bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. Amen.
So if you're able, just stand to your feet as we worship together.
Savior.
conquered the grave. You are always with us, and we are never alone. So we just thank you, God, for what you have done and what you have yet to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the name above every other name. Amen and amen. Well, we're so thankful to have you here with us this morning. If you would, go around and greet some of your family of faith this morning.
Amen. We bring the house down a little bit, please. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to have you today. We want to take up tithes and offering. If you have something to give, you can prep that. Offering envelopes are in the chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around. One of the ushers will help you out. And, of course, we appreciate your giving and all the things that, as a church, we're able to do because of your faithfulness, and we're thankful for that. So let me pray over that. If you have something to give today, you can bring it down. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to continue our worship today as we give, and your blessings of increase in our lives, Lord. It doesn't go unnoticed at all that you are our provider, and in all things you go before us, and we thank you for that. So as we give today, Lord, it's an honoring to you of just the wonderful things you do for us, including always being our provider. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen, amen. Amen. Margaret's going to come down and give you a couple quick things before I got a couple of announcements for you. So go ahead, Margo.
Am I on? No.
Yes, you're on.
Am I on? No, I'm not.
Hold on. Can we on?
Hello? Oh, there you go. Can you hear me now? All right. Okay, well, good morning, everyone. Hello. It's going to be 83 degrees today. How many's excited? Woo!
Not him, right? You don't like the 83 degrees?
Not really.
It's okay. He's fine. He'll be okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to welcome everybody. And if you're new with us and you haven't filled out one of these, we would really appreciate if you would do that. They are in the seats in front of you, along with, if you're interested in anything, just learning about the church, we've got this blue Welcome to Only Believer banner. Just tell us a little bit about the church if you're interested. And also, Mother's Day's coming up. Yeah. Yay! Like, I feel, did anybody else feel like you blink and it's like May? Like, I don't know what happened, but it's coming. So on Sunday, May 12th at 9 a.m., we are going to have muffins with Mom.
Ooh,
so we like food here, and we like muffins. So everybody come early, have some muffins, celebrate with your family. We'd love to see you.
All right. Well, good deal. Thank you. Yeah. All right, muffins with mom. Sounds good. In addition to all of that, don't forget, next Sunday right after church, as soon as we're done, we have our next session of water baptism. So if you've signed up, be here next Sunday and be ready to go with that. If not, you haven't signed up, but you are saved. You've given your life to Jesus, but you've never been water baptized. And it's an outward expression of the inward change that has happened. It's not only for you, but it's for the community of believers that we now join together with you in your life of faith. Go ahead and sign up at the back table back there, and next Sunday right after church, we will have those water baptisms. And I'll contact you if you put a phone number there about that this week and just touch base with you on that. Also, Joy Fellowship. Where's Bill and Patsy? That's happening today. So 5 o'clock downstairs for the olders in our group. I say that. But anybody's allowed to come. You can bring some food to share. And hi, Lori.
I'm sorry.
You're okay. You're okay. I just wanted to make sure what you were doing. That's what I was wondering. Not that I don't trust you, but, you know. Anyways. what was I saying? Oh, Joy Fellowship. That's today, 5 o'clock. Also, last but not least, back at the back, we're already getting ready for our summer VBS. So if you're interested in helping out with VBS, our Kids Vacation Bible School, there's a sign-up sheet for different spots where you can help us. Also, there's a poster board with little yellow, neon green post-it notes, whatever color it is, that have needs that we have. So if you're interested in helping donate some things, grab one of those off there, purchase whatever's on that post-it note, and then bring it in. That will help us towards getting ready for the VBS. And I think that's all we got. So get your Bibles out. Matthew chapter 13. We'll get there in just a few moments. A couple weeks ago, we started a series on the kingdom of God. Aren't you thankful that God not only forgives us, but he also sets us free from our past? How many are thankful for that? And he's always putting new life in front of us. That is one way that we can talk about the kingdom of God. But I want you to have a firm grasp on what the kingdom of God is. The reason why is this, is because the kingdom of God is the subject that Jesus taught about the most. The majority of the parables that Jesus spoke, and Jesus was a master storyteller, were about what we call the kingdom of God. Now, some of the gospels have the kingdom of heaven. That's interchangeable, kingdom of God, or if you see the kingdom of heaven, that's the same thing. But it's the subject of Jesus in the majority of the things that he said because he wants us to know what God is doing in our world. I'm going to give you a definition. Justice is the first slide back there, if you would, please. Here's a definition of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is God rescuing and reclaiming his creation. That's one aspect of how we can look at what the kingdom of God is. It was inaugurated. John the Baptist started saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus also said that. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From the moment of the work of Jesus, the kingdom of God has been active in our world. But the kingdom not of this world. Yet finding a place in this world. But the work of the kingdom of God is coming to rescue and reclaim the creation that he made, that he loved, but's lost in sin. That's what the kingdom of God is about. So whenever you read in the Gospels, let's say a parable of Jesus, and he says this, the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like, you and your mind can say, this is one way that it looks like that God is rescuing his creation. Or here comes a parable about the kingdom of God. This is an aspect of how God is reclaiming his creation. You can insert that in there in your mind. It kind of gives you an idea of what the kingdom of God is about. Not only is the kingdom of God is at hand, but Jesus said the kingdom of God is where? It's within you or in your grasp. In other words, the work of the kingdom of God is big picture. God is saving all of his creation, and it boils down to each individual because your entrance into the kingdom of God is salvation. Amen. So when you say, I have given my life to Jesus, I've asked for forgiveness of my sins, you may not have known it, but what you're saying is, I am now a citizen of the kingdom of God. I am a citizen of God reclaiming and rescuing his lost creation. And I'm in it. I'm participating in it. I'm a part of it. That's the work of the kingdom of God. And as we said at the close of a couple weeks ago, the kingdom of God is a celebration. For every person who gives their life to God in forgiveness and receives salvation, it sparks a celebration in the heavenlies. Amen. It's one of the reasons why we come together as a church and we don't just worship, but we also celebrate. Because we celebrate because if you begin to understand your place in the kingdom, you have been set free. Yes, if that doesn't cause you to celebrate, I don't know what to tell you. You've been set free from your sins. Amen. You have been given new life. If that doesn't cause you to celebrate, we need to shake you up a little bit. It's one of the reasons why we come together and celebrate as a church. We are celebrating the fact that we are citizens of the ever-moving kingdom of God, God's work in this world, and it's happening within me. Amen. So I want to talk to you about a couple different things today. Two aspects of the kingdom. I think the second one's important that you really understand. But let's start here. Justice, if you'll throw that second slide up, please. The kingdom of God is the greatest thing that you can possess. It's the greatest thing. There is nothing of greater value in this world than to be able to have the kingdom of God. So let's read about this. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. A parable of Jesus. Again, Jesus is a masterful storyteller. The kingdom of heaven is like, in other words, here is an aspect, here is a way that God is rescuing and reclaiming his lost creation. It's like a treasure hidden in a field. And a man found it, and he covered it back up. Then in his joy, because of what he found, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys the field. In other words, to have the treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like, where this is an aspect of how God is rescuing and reclaiming his creation. It's like a merchant who's looking for fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had to buy it. The kingdom of God is the greatest thing you can possess. Of all the treasures you can find in this world, the things that people value in some way, the kingdom of God is the greatest thing. But listen, here's a fact. It's that you must be willing, listen to me, because you can't sugarcoat this. You must be willing to give up everything and anything to have it.
Amen. That's right.
You've got to see it that way. It is like the treasure found in a field. Now, what's amazing about the parables of Jesus, these are not full, perfect, entire theological dogmas. It gives an aspect. Matter of fact, they're not necessarily nice, neat ways of explaining things in the sense that it's not like the guy who found the treasure in the field, he covered it up and went and bought it. That was sort of deceiving, wasn't it? Because he didn't go to the owner and say, hey, there's a big treasure in your field. Can I buy the field? He's making a point. The point is, just like the merchant who found the pearl of great price, that they gave everything. They sold everything of themselves in order to have what they have discovered. It is the greatest thing you can possess. And what you can't sugarcoat about the kingdom of God, it will ask everything of you. See, we were singing a song today that was saying, what I earned is not what I got. Amen. You can't earn the kingdom, right? Because salvation is the gift of God. But see, once you're saved, The kingdom will ask everything of you. It's not that you in turn continue to earn the kingdom, but yet in order to have new life and abundant life, you've got to give your life up. And the kingdom, what God is doing in rescuing and reclaiming you. You see that? It's big picture everything, but it also comes down to you. He's rescuing and reclaiming you. But in order to rescue and reclaim you, he's got to get to every part of you. You can't say, okay, I want to be a part of the kingdom of God and salvation. Amen. I know I didn't earn it. Amen. The grace of God is wonderful. Amen. But I will not abuse it. I will not look at the work of God in my life in a cheap way. This is the cheap way of looking at it. Well, I know God's grace is there, so that means I can keep on sinning. That's not true. Paul says, hey, Romans chapter 6, he says, hey, look, just because the grace of God abounds doesn't mean we keep on sinning all the more. He said, by no means. You will give your life. And this is what people don't like to hear. See, when those people in the parable, whether the treasure in the field or that pearl that of great price that was found, they willingly gave every part of who they were to have it. I'm glad you're saved. I hope you are. But have you given your life to him? I'm talking all aspects of your life. Every part of who you are, given over to God. Listen, the reason, because he wants to rescue you. But not just rescue you, he wants to reclaim you for the kingdom. Life as he intends it to be. When Jesus said, I've come to give life to the full, I've come to give abundant life, what does that mean? Does it mean your bank account gets big? No, that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, abundant life in the freedom from sin. Listen, he doesn't just want to forgive you. He does. But he wants you to live free. Amen. That is abundant life. That is the kingdom rescuing and reclaiming you. But you've got to be willing to give it all up for him to do that. Because as much as you fight with him about keeping certain things, he can't rescue and reclaim those things. That's just the way it works. So the kingdom of God is active in this world. Now remember, the kingdom does not work by the way we think of kingdoms or nations. You can't force people into the kingdom, can you? No. So you can't raise up an army and go make everybody Christian. Can't do it. Doesn't work by the ways of the world. You cannot change how God is saving the world. How is God saving the world? Through the work of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, salvation and new life. You can't change how he does it. You know you can't buy it. You can be a multi-billionaire and you can't buy your way into the kingdom. It doesn't come by forcing people. It doesn't come by money. Hold on to your seats here. Don't get mad at me. It doesn't come by politics. You can't legislate people into the kingdom. Or else Jesus would have been a military commander. Or else Jesus would have been born into money. Or else Jesus would have went into politics. What Jesus did, he went to the cross. Amen. And when you keep those things in mind, you capture the essence of the kingdom. It comes one by one as God is reclaiming his creation, as we as individuals enter the kingdom and give our life to it. This is how God works through the world. The kingdom of God is wherever there is somebody standing who is saved. And the kingdom of God is working in you, and it kind of swirls around you. It's not defined by national borders. Do you realize today there's somebody in Africa who is saved? And you know what? The kingdom of God is there. And there's somebody in Brazil that, I don't know the time difference, but they're waking up maybe. and they're saved, and the kingdom of God is in Brazil. And in China right now, there are people who are saved. And you know what? You know where the kingdom of God is? In China. And right here in little old Urbana, there's people meeting in this church and a church down the road and a church up the road, and there are people that are saved. You know where the kingdom of God is? It's right here. The kingdom of God is wherever we are. This is how the kingdom of God then goes forth into the world. We take it. The kingdom goes where we go. Which is another way of saying we're a light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden, right? So we are the kingdom of God. We are those who are in as citizens. Now here's the thing. Why do you need to give your life? Because in order to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, you've got to start living by the kingdom rules. What are the kingdom rules? Well, start in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Even says things like, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Not the mighty military armies, but the meek will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And you start working through the Sermon on the Mount. This is the way to live as a citizen in the kingdom of God. You know, you heard it was said, murdering somebody's wrong. But I tell you, if you're angry enough to start calling names at people, you're in danger of the fires of hell. You want to live as a citizen of the kingdom? Control your anger. Bible said, Jesus said, adultery is a sin. But I tell you what, if you so much as look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her in her heart. Jesus said, if you want to be a citizen of the kingdom, learn how to deal with lust in your life. You're giving your life over. You've heard it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. Somebody pokes you in the eye, you get to poke them back. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. And it goes on down to say that you may be perfect as your Father is in heaven. My goodness. You want to be a citizen of the kingdom? Love your enemy. Now we start to see what it means to give your life over, because some of that stuff is not easy. Amen. But listen, you must be willing. Because that treasure in the field or that pearl that you found is of such great price, great value. There's nothing greater. You're willing to give it all up to have it. To abide in it, to exist in it, and then to grow. And that sort of leads us to the next thing. Well, how does this work in my life, or how does this work around me? Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. Stay in the book of Matthew 13, chapter 13, verse number 31. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, or how God is reclaiming his creation is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. And it's the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants, and it becomes a tree. So that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told him another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like, in other words, how God is reclaiming his creation is like, that a woman took and hid 3 measures of flour until it was all leaven. A plant growing, yeast being worked through some dough. That is how the kingdom of God works. I want you to understand this part because it'll help you for yourself. It'll help you for other people. Notice the subversiveness of the kingdom. Notice how it works and how it grows. In other words, again, you cannot force it in others, and it's really hard to force it in yourself. You see, the kingdom of God grows and it works through, and it does it in fits and starts. And here's my observance for walking with people for 30 years in pastoral ministry. It's not just this perfect line. It just goes like this. Yeah. It has a tendency to do this. Yeah. I mean, what I'm talking about. Here's what I know. as believers, Christians, giving our life to God, and His grace is working, and the kingdom is growing, it's working its way through, it's not like we're on an assembly line like a car being put together. And it's the same business, same process for every single person. We're not being in the building to robots who are just like each other. All of you come from different situations, different backgrounds, different things that happen in your life. Some of you have been through some stuff that very few people, other people have been through. You've grown up in different environments, but yet somehow, someway, you've come to saving grace in Jesus, and now the kingdom has been planted in you like a seed. New creation. Now it begins to grow. Or it's like the yeast was planted in the flower of your life, and now it's being kneaded through. And here's what I know, is you can't force it. What do I mean by that? Well, let's think about big picture for a second. God is reclaiming His creation in the way that He is doing it. Amen? Amen? And you can't chase it, and you can't change it. You can't make it work faster. And you can't, by the way, stand outside every day and yell at Him for why He hasn't come back yet. And you can't force Him to come back faster than He's planned to come. You can't force the kingdom. You can do that, but you're just yelling at the sky.
Yes.
You say, how many know what I'm getting at? It works the way that it works. And when it comes to your life, and maybe I'm saying this specifically how you see other people, if you go out to a cornfield that's going to be planted in the next month or so, right? And that first little corn plant starts to come up, you can't stand there and scream at it and make it go faster. You can get as intense as you want. You can get red in the face and angry, and it's going to grow as it grows. Right? The kingdom works as it works. Or, I make, believe it or not, I make a bread recipe. True.
Yes.
I usually make it around the holidays. In the recipe, kneading the dough is to be for 8 to 10 minutes. That's the specific recipe. I cannot say, you know what? I'm going to do this harder and faster. It's going to be done in 3. And just pound the dough to death. It's not going to work. I can't force it to work faster than it's supposed to. What you do is you participate in the kneading. What you do is you are good soil, but you can't force it faster than it naturally does. That goes for you, and it goes for other people. So it's, in other words, part of my experience of pastorally walking with people for 30 years is people are going to grow as they grow. Do I ever feel like grabbing a hold of some people? Yep. Have I ever been frustrated? Yep. What I found is the key to the whole thing is faithfulness. What I found is faithfulness with a dash of perseverance is what it's about. What I found is the job of the church is simply to be consistent, because that's what people need. Because every single one of you will grow as you grow. And I can't make Margo grow the same as Kelly grows, the same as Christine grows, the same as Nina grows, all the way back to James in the back. I can't make you all grow exactly the same. But what I can say is if you will participate in the work of the kingdom, the kneading process, if you will be good soil, you will grow. Amen. So when you are going through this growth in your life, just know it's going to be growth in fits and starts and won't be exactly perfect all the time. Why? Jesus hasn't come back yet. And when you're dealing with other people, let them grow. You can pray for them. You can encourage them. You can be there for them. But you can't force them to grow. That's a great truth of life. If you are saved, the kingdom has been planted in you.
Amen.
And if you are just diligent in what it means to be a Christian, you will grow. The yeast will be worked through the dough. What you must do is stay faithful. What you must do is stay consistent. What you must do is when you fall down, get back up. What you must do is when you feel you've walked off the trail, get back on the trail. Amen. And the work of the kingdom will be happening in you. That's the nature of it. And you can't scream at the plant, nor can you make the dough work the yeast through faster. The kingdom works as it works. As a matter of fact, remember the parable of the sower that Jesus told? The word is sown, and it gives some examples of the seed, either was it received because the bird snatched it up, or it was sown, and the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choked the plant, it gets to this place at the end where some seed were received in what we would say good soil. Now watch this, listen to this. And there was a harvest of what? 30? Some 60, some 100%, 100-fold. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've heard that most when people are talking about giving money. Take that out of that, put it back over here somewhere. This is about growth in the kingdom. And I don't believe it was Jesus was giving hard percentages or hard return. There's like everybody's either going to be 30, 60, or 100. He's giving an example that people grow differently. Not everybody grows the same. Some it's going to be 30-fold. But yet, the kingdom was growing. Some it's going to be 60-fold. But yet, the kingdom was growing. Some it's going to be 100-fold. Amen. The kingdom was growing. But you know who gets harvested out of all of that? The 30 and the 60 and the 100-fold. And there's no distinction then made between those. Now, my desire as a pastor, everybody grows 100-fold return. Amen. But I just know not everybody's going to be that. There are some people that get saved on their deathbed. Amen. And they get the same reward I did living as a Christian since I was 17. Jesus said that too. They were probably 30-fold Christians, if you want to call it that. Everybody talks about what's your theology of the thief on the cross? He went to paradise with Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, he wasn't baptized. I understand, but if he was living and alive and escaped off there, he would have needed to be baptized and live the Christian life. Let's stop with that foolishness. But he went to paradise with Jesus. As much as I'm going to be when Jesus returns. You see, I'm getting at. Everybody gives their personal account before the Lord. Everybody. He is the judge of 30, 60, 100, 40, or no growth at all. Our job is to participate with the Holy Spirit of the kneading process of our life. Our job as a Christian is to be good soil so the plant grows. Our job for other people is to pray for them and encourage them and bear each other's burdens, but know that I can't force growth in other people. Amen. 30, 60, 100-fold. But they're all growing. That's the reality of the kingdom of God. So when I went to college, I grew up in a Christian home. Even through junior high, I would say I was a Christian. But after junior high, I was like, yeah, forget this stuff. And for the rest of my high school years, I really did not live as a Christian. Went to church when I had to go, that whole business. But then when I graduated high school, 2 weeks later, I was still 17. I gave my life to God, and right away, I got called in my heart to be a pastor. So all the plans I had for college, I ditched them and literally found the Christian school that I knew because somebody went there. Never saw it, never been there, didn't visit it, and I drove 1,000 miles and went to college there, just and went. I mean, went through the application process, but I'd never seen the place. I drove out there and got there. So I was there 2 weeks early for football camp. I walked on the football team, and my roommate was a guy named Scotty Gibbons from Jackson, Mississippi, all right? Scotty was also called to ministry, too, so we're both going there to Bible degree, that kind of stuff. Roommates in August at camp, and then ended up being roommates then for the first school year, okay? Scotty was perfect. And I say that only very tadly tongue-in-cheek. The kid had never done nothing wrong in his life, literally. Have you ever, you can name, have you ever drank, Scotty? Nope. Smoke? Nope. No. I mean, you could go down the line if you think of things that are vice. He's never done none of it. I get stuck in a room with this kid. And here I come dragging all my baggage. I'm just saved like a month. I'm bringing all my baggage into this room with perfect Scotty. I'm telling you what, I was about 3 months into this, I don't even 3 months, maybe 2 months into this semester. And one day I'm looking at him, and we had a great relationship. Wonderful relationship. It wasn't about that. But I'm looking at him, I'm going, if I have to be like him, I can't do this. Scotty, to me, was the epitome of a 100-fold Christian. I'm barely squeaking in, maybe 5%. If I have to be like him, I can't do this. And I was going for a double major, my Bible degree, but also a history degree. I'm like, okay, forget this Bible major stuff. I'm going to get my history degree, get a teaching thing, and I'm going to teach history in high school. That's what I thought. I couldn't do it. Scotty wasn't beating me down about it. He never said anything to me about it. All the baggage I drug in, he saw it. We lived together. He never said a word to me about it, other than every once in a while when he was going to church on a Sunday night, I'm like, forget Sunday night church. He'd just give me the side eye as he was leaving. That's what he would do to me. But other than that, he never said anything about anything. I had a revelation one day. You don't have to be like Scotty. He's a great example. But Scotty's had a different life than you. And he's a few steps down the road from where you are today. Your plant is going to grow different than Scotty. The yeast is going to be worked through your life in a different way than Scotty. And once I came to that realization, I went, okay, I think I can do this. God is working with me, and Scotty can pray for me, and Scotty can help me, and Scotty can be an example for me, and all this other business. Yes, amen. But God was working on me as long as I was willing to be good soil. And I no longer had to compare myself to him. Comparison is a dangerous game. Look up to people, learn from people, have mentors. Yes and amen, but comparison is dangerous. That God was going to take me on my growth journey and still work on Scotty too. Amen. And work on the guys that live next to us in the dorm. Amen. But it had to do with my faithfulness and my perseverance and my willingness to be where I'm at today and continue to go forward. And I would testify that however old I am since I was 17, the plant has been growing. Listen, and it's still growing. This is how the kingdom works. Even when I came to that realization, I didn't get perfect overnight. There was a whole bunch of stuff I had to keep working on down the road. And just because I came to that thought and that understanding didn't mean the yeast was completely worked through my dough overnight. Process, listen, that's still happening today, right now. You know why I know that? Because tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up, and the first thing I'm going to do when I get to work is I'm going to read my Bible. Why? For my message Wednesday? Nope. For me. Because I'm still growing. You know what I'm going to do right after that? I'm going to spend a little time in prayer. Why? For you guys, later. For in that moment, me and God. I'm still growing. And once I realize that even today, after pastoring for 30 years, I'm still growing, I look at you and say, okay, listen to me. Quit playing games. Quit fooling around. Get consciously serious about this business. But I'm going to have patience with you all day long. You know why? Because I understand the faithfulness of God to bring the kingdom here and how his faithfulness has worked out in my life. And in turn, with his faithfulness comes mercy and grace and a whole lot of patience. Not excuse for sin, but patience to keep growing. You see that? And I engage with his patience. Listen, every time I get in the Word, every time I pray, every time the Holy Spirit convicts me about something, I go, well, that's new. I didn't realize that. Okay, here we go. Let's work on this. Patience every time I do fall down, make a mistake. Okay, I'm not going to lay there and have a big self-pity party and think I can't do this. How about I get up, brush my knees and elbows off, let's keep going. Faithfulness. See, an aspect of the righteousness of God is this. It comes out in covenant faithfulness. Now the new blood covenant of Jesus shows up in the kingdom of God. He is faithful to enact it in this world. My response is faithfulness. I am going to keep, listen, long-term discipleship is another word for continued plant growth of the kingdom. It's another word for yeast being worked through the dough in my life. It's all the same thing. Jesus come to give abundant life. Abundant life is the growth. Abundant life is that yeast being worked through the dough. That's what it is. All these different terminologies you see in the Bible all come down to this. The kingdom of God grows. And it'll grow as it grows. Listen, the reason that Jesus spoke parables and used nature as an example, because it's a tangible object lesson for you to go outside and look how the grass grows, and look how a tree grows, and look how the corn grows. It's right there in front of you. This is how it works. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. I'm like Paul, as all of us. I have not attained it yet. But I forget what's behind, and I continue to press on towards what is ahead. In other words, I'm going to continue to grow. All the way to my upward call that this prize in Christ Jesus, that's heavenward. That's where we're headed. But it's nice that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven came to us. To show us what it means to live new life in this wonderful salvation that God gives us. How many of you have discovered in your life the growth of the kingdom kind of gets in fits and starts? Ebbs and flows. Oh, yeah, yeah, you know. So the patience that God gives you, turn and give that patience to other people. Amen. And stay about the work of the kingdom. Song we were singing, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first God's rescuing and reclaiming project in this world. Seek it first. And all the other things that would have made you worried or captured your attention or went after your allegiance would be added unto you anyways. Seek first his kingdom and in turn his righteousness, his covenant faithfulness. And all these things will be added unto you. Amen. So what I'm looking for as a pastor is not perfection. I'm not there myself. What I'm looking for is growth. And I'm looking for faithfulness. I'm looking for perseverance. I'm looking for people who put their hands on the plow and simply just don't let go. Even if the plow drags you sometimes. Don't let go. God is doing his work. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand up on our feet. (Clears throat) So when you're a light of the world, what that's basically saying is, it's becoming noticeable that the kingdom of God is growing in you. Pretty basic. When your city's set on the hill, for everybody to see, it's because the yeast is being worked through the dough in your life. So here's this. We proclaim the kingdom of God, the good news of Jesus. But then we practice it, grow. But you can't really share the kingdom properly unless there's some growth behind the sharing. City on a hill. We proclaim the kingdom, we practice the kingdom, then we share the kingdom. That's how God works in our world. That's plan. See that? Bare bones right there. We proclaim it. Practice it, we share it. That's been the model for 2,000 years, and it's working. You're here today. And we participate in it. Amen. Now, if you've been fooling around with this stuff, your soil got in bad shape for whatever reason. You stopped participating with the Holy Spirit in this kneading process in your life. You've gotten off the trail. You're this narrow road business. You're somewhere else. And you know you got to get back in. You've got to come back to this thing. If the kingdom is this great treasure, I've got to give my whole life to it. And you haven't been. I encourage you today to do so. As a matter of fact, right now. And the thing is, it's not hard. You just say, Lord, you know, but I'm coming to you because this is going to help me. I need you to forgive me of this sin or these sins. Lord, I need you to forgive me of being lazy about this and focusing on everything else other than seeking your kingdom first. And just ask, you just say so. And that wonderful, faithful God will come and say, okay, I see your heart. Let's get going. And bring you back to where you need to be so today you can go forward in growing in the kingdom of God. Amen. But you do so. So I'm going to give you a moment to do it. Everybody close your eyes. I want to give you space for a second. That if you need to get your life back on track today, do it right now. And you simply just ask him. This God who judges all things willingly accepts you at the word of your heart. Amen. Just in that just moment right there, you recommitted your heart, recommitted your life. I'd like to know. Raise your hand up real quick. Anybody? Okay, anybody else? I saw two or three hands right there. Anybody else? Four hands. Anybody else? Well, amen. Amen. all just for a moment, let's just raise our hands up and worship Him. We praise You, Jesus. We worship You. Your name is highly exalted. Your kingdom is the best thing we can have. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, through who we are and our humanity, that the kingdom is working in us. That power of the Holy Spirit is doing its job. Thank You. We praise You. You are so wonderful. You are so good. Thank You. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Maybe some of you that have doubted your salvation. Those are the lies of the enemy. I want you to listen to me. Your salvation is secure. He's got you. He's got you. He's not going to let you go. Yeah, I know you've made mistakes. Yep, you've messed up. Just recommit your heart to Him. Yes, Lord. Thank You. Some of you struggle with doubt sometimes. Okay. Yep. We go through that sometimes. But God is the God who doesn't leave you, nor does He forsake you. God is the God who stays faithful in all the seasons of our lives, no matter what. He does not change. Thank You, Lord, for that. Some of you have been going through some stuff and you're wondering where God's been. Listen, take a deep breath. He's there. The Bible says for those who love Him, He's working for your good. He's got you. Some of you, you're struggling with past things. It just seems like you can't get over it, move beyond it. Start meeting with God in a secret place. He'll start to cut those things free. In Jesus' name. Some of you, at times, your mind is just overrun, overwhelmed with the anxiety and worry. Cast your cares upon Him. The Bible says that He'll give you peace that passes all understanding. That you learn to rest in His peace. When the great psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd," that you realize that in your life. Thank You, Lord, for Your peace. Some of you have been dealing with certain sin in your life. Time to call it what it is. Time to step up with the power of the Holy Spirit. Time to step beyond. He's got you. He's going to help you. He'll empower you. But you must resist temptation. But for all the things that we're facing, Lord, You will help us through. You will see us through. We have no doubt. That his whole walking of life with you is actually with you. Not without you, not ahead of you, not behind you, but you are with us. I pray we find encouragement in that today. You are right here with each of us. I thank you, Lord, for that. So we praise you today and we worship you. Lift you high above all things. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. All right. If you raised your hand a few moments ago, as soon as I dismiss, I'd love you to come down. I just for 2 or 3 minutes want to talk to you, okay? Other than that, if you have prayer needs, come on down. We'd love to pray with you before you go. But have a wonderful, blessed week. Go be a light for Jesus tomorrow. Amen? All right. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you Wednesday night.